those who are out there fighting the fires. Father, just keep them safe. Help them to make good, wise choices. Father, thank you for how you provide for each and every one of us. There's just so many ways that, you know, there's just times when we look back and realize how you've supplied. And sometimes in the moment, we don't see it. And Father, this morning as we look at, you know, those things that are seemingly impossible for us, we'll see how they're possible for you. And we need to remember that constantly, that you are the God of the impossible. And so I just pray this morning that your Spirit would speak to us, would speak through me, and would just cause us to want to serve you more and to follow what your word says. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's just do a few announcements here to start with. So parking. You can park over here, just to let you know that. I mean, no one is going back here and parking. I just want to let you know that that's available to park. I've driven in and out of there a lot, so I've picked up, I think, all the nails and screws that are going to be picked up. So I don't think that's an issue. So just to let you know that's all that area out there is available towards the play field. I just want to give a big thank you to Kathy and her group that put on Vacation Bible School. A bunch of kids and parents, and just it went really well. And if you've ever been involved in Vacation Bible School, you know how much work it is. And I was amazed when I walked in Thursday morning and it's like almost everything was cleared out. It was pretty amazing. They did a great job cleaning up and making it happen. Next Sunday we're going to be out on the field. We're going to have an outdoor service, and the church is going to be providing the meat, and so there's information in there on what you can bring for the potluck. And then today, right after the service, we're 10:30. Next Sunday, 10:30. And then right after this service, we're going to be having a meeting about the community center. It's been offered to us as a church to take it over. They would just, because they're a nonprofit, they basically have to give it. So they're giving it to us with all assets, and so we're having a meeting about that today. All right, so Mark chapter 6, God of the impossible. Think back through your past and how God maybe worked some things that you thought at the time maybe were impossible. Or even recently, things that God is doing in your life that you thought there's no way this can happen, or there's no end in sight, and yet God did some amazing things in your life. And what is an impossible situation? You know, if you ask one person, they may say, well, this is an impossible situation, but you might ask someone else and their perspective's different and they may not look at it that way. And so sometimes, you know, you can't say for one person, well, you know, you just need to suck it up and move on. But it doesn't work that way for everybody, because perspective means a lot. And what is your situation? You know, sometimes it's self-caused. You know, you've made a poor decision or maybe violated a godly principle. There's times when you're just an innocent participant of the circumstances. That does happen. God's word talks about the impossible. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." Nothing is too difficult for God. Luke 18:27 says, "But he said, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God." It's all about our viewpoint. We observe and interpret everyday life from two viewpoints: from a human viewpoint and from a divine viewpoint. The human viewpoint being horizontal, we just kind of see, you know, what's around us and what's out here. It's self-oriented. Yet the divine viewpoint is vertical, keeping our eyes above. It's unlimited. And it's God-oriented. And we're going to see these in action today in our section here. So open your Bibles to Mark 6. We're going to be looking at 30 through 44. Mark 6, verses 30 through 44. Now remember, this is the other piece of bread in the sandwich. Remember, there's a story sandwich where Mark started out, and then he went to a different story, and now he's actually finishing up and then going into some more stuff. So it says, the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. The people saw them going, and many recognized him and ran there together on foot from all the cities. And they got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate and is already quite late. Send them away so that they may go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go look. And they went and they found out they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. He commanded them to all sit down by groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves, and he kept giving to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also the fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. God of the impossible. Well, the first thing that I want to cover here, though, is kind of finishing up that other story. So the disciples, he sent the disciples out, told them to take nothing with them except a staff and their sandals on their feet. And they went out, and it says that they drove out demons, they anointed the sick, they healed the sick, they gave an account of what they did. They came back and they reported back to Jesus what happened. It says they taught about repentance. Acts 20:21 says, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Teaching repentance. Now, all this kind of going on is also going to set up this next thing that we're going to look at. So kind of keep in the back of your minds all that the disciples went out and did. And they came back, I'm sure they were absolutely excited about what they had done. And they're reporting back to Jesus, you won't believe what we did. Because he had given them the authority. It wasn't on human initiative. It was what God was doing through them. So now Jesus says, you guys have been out doing this. You've been working hard. We need to get away and rest. We need to rest. It says to come away by themselves to a quiet place. It's such a good example for us. You know, it's so easy to just go and go and go and go. And yet, very godly principle, that idea of even the Sabbath, taking a rest, not going 7 days a week, but taking a rest, taking some time to think about what's going on and just getting away. So they got in a boat and they headed out, and yet the crowds were watching them. And somehow they figured out where they were headed. And so they took off on foot. It says they ran to where they were going. So they pull into shore, and here's the crowd. Now, from a human viewpoint or a human perspective, the disciples may have looked at that and went, oh my gosh, here we go again. More work. They hadn't even really got any time, bless you, they hadn't really got any time to be alone. You know, it may have crossed their mind that, Jesus, how about if we just keep sailing? How about if we just keep going? We can spend quiet time out here on the water. But yet Jesus had a different plan. We see in this group that kind of the main thing that's going to come about is this issue of food, that they needed food. In Deuteronomy 8:3, it says, He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live on bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. But they were looking at it from this human viewpoint that oh man, we're going to need to feed them. You know, and it's possible, the kind of the way that it's worded here, it's possible that the disciples hadn't even really eaten yet. You know, so their stomachs are growling. Makes it hard to take care of other people when you're dealing with yourself. In John 6:5-6, it says, Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes, this is from John, it's about the same story. Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, Where are we going to buy bread so that these may eat? And then it goes on to say why he asked him that. It says, This he was saying to test him, for he knew himself what he was intending to do. So Jesus already knew what was going to happen, and he was using this as a teaching moment for the disciples. They were lacking in food. It says that there was 5,000 men, so it's possible that there was 15,000 people total. Because if you take men, add kids, add women, it's possible there was literally 15,000 people there. And according to this, where it says how much it would take, that was like about a half a year's wages that it would have taken to feed them. Okay, now think back. What had they just done? Jesus had sent them out. They healed the sick. They drove out demons. And now they're worried about feeding people. They've already forgotten how God can work. And don't we do that? Don't we do that? You know, God will do some amazing things in our life, and then all of a sudden we hit this other thing. And we're just like, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, I don't know what to do. Okay, what did God do before? Not that he's going to do it identically, but God will work. They only saw the impossible. It was that human point of view. But Jesus saw it from a divine point of view. What was the first thing that Jesus says? He looked at the people and he felt compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In fact, not only were they like a sheep without a shepherd, they were more like a sheep with a bad shepherd. Because the religious leaders were taking them down the wrong direction, down the wrong path. And so Jesus, what he does is he feeds them spiritually first. Because what's it say that he does? He began to teach them. So he's giving them that spiritual food. Just like Deuteronomy said that, you know, man does not live by bread alone, but what proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so Jesus begins to teach them, give them spiritual food. He also gave his disciples some direction. Okay, here's what I want you to do. So what's available? You know, the disciples hadn't even bothered to see, well, okay, so we have some food, you know, and maybe the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, maybe that was their dinner. You know, and they're thinking about themselves first. Well, we haven't eaten, you know. So he says, well, what do you have? What are your resources? You know, and sometimes we'll quickly forget that too, that all the things that God has supplied for us, has provided for us, and we so quickly forget, okay, no, wait a minute, I guess I have some resources that I'm not really thinking through. You know, I guess I could sell this or sell that, or, you know, I can use this for that. Have to have a different perspective. He then gives them direction to sit in groups, which I've always kind of found interesting. It's like, okay, groups of hundreds and fifties. What's that got to do with anything? I think it was for efficiency. Because what ended up happening is the disciples end up serving all these people. And if you just had this big, huge crowd, it would be hard to, oh yeah, have you had anything yet? Have you had anything yet? But they can go to the groups and serve each group. So they did eventually feed them bread. That Jesus did provide for them physically. He used what was available. He looked around, saw what his resources were, and that's what he used. And then one of the first things he does is he gives thanks. He who has provided was given thanks. Jesus says to his heavenly Father, thank you for providing this food. And I'm just kind of put yourself in the picture of, you know, you're all kind of sitting around out here and Jesus is standing there and he says, God, thank you for this food. And you're looking and going, he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish and there's thousands of us. What's going on? And yet as he kept breaking the bread, he kept handing out the fish, it just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And I think of that crowd that was the closest. They would have seen that. And then, you know, how the rumor starts. And then it would have started to flow out. Well, he only started with 5 and he kept breaking the bread and it just kept coming and it kept coming. And I don't know where he was getting it. He doesn't have pockets. I mean, put yourself in that place. That would have been so amazing. And it says that they were all satisfied. Not just that they got enough, but they were all satisfied. When I was looking at Chuck Swindoll's commentary, he said in there, even the teenagers. Right, Frank? If you've had teenagers, you know how they can eat. Even the teenagers were satisfied. There was plenty of food. In fact, there was leftovers. 12 full baskets left over. Pretty amazing. So not only was there enough to satisfy them, there was enough for days to go on for some of them. So how do we take this and apply it in personally in our own lives? Hopefully you've heard some things along the way that kind of struck you. You know, that idea of the human horizontal perspective, you know, the impossible. From a human perspective, we look at things and think, oh man, there is no way this is going to work out. You know, there's so many things in our lives that we come into contact with that, you know, whether it's health or finances or whatever it might be, it's just like, there is no way. I can't see how this is going to be good. There's that hopelessness. I just don't have any hope that it's going to change. And what we need a divine vertical perspective to look at it with what's possible with God. What could God do? And having hope in that. And not putting God in a box and saying, well, God, this is what you have to do. But looking out there and saying, I wonder what God's going to do. And the opportunity that it may bring. You know, you think about, you know, the feeding of these people, the impossible that brought an opportunity to show who God was. I mean, that's what was happening, showing who God was. We need to look for God in the impossible opportunities. Looking for God in the impossible. I came across this verse in thinking about, you know, those things that are possible and impossible, and it so fits. Mark 14:36, Jesus, he's in the garden. He's agonizing over what's coming, and he says, "Abba, Daddy, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me." The cup he's talking about is he's going to the cross. He's going to die a horrible, miserable death on the cross. God, I know, Father, I know it's possible for you to take this away. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. This is an impossible situation. And yet I know you're the God of possibilities. And Jesus knew what this was going to do. He knew that sacrifice on the cross was going to cover our sin. That it was going to provide God's creation with an opportunity to repent, ask for forgiveness, and be saved from damnation, to be saved from God's wrath that he will pour out on those who don't accept him. Jesus' blood was enough to take care of that. All we have to do is ask and believe. Taking an impossible situation, one where we couldn't pay the penalty for ourselves, and God said, "I will turn it into a possible situation." Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are a God of the possible, that you will take those things that from our human perspective, that we just think there is no way this is going to work. And yet you can take that and use that. And many times it doesn't work the way we think it should work, but it works for the best. Just as Jesus, I'm sure he was on his face in the garden. He's in agony over it because he knows what's coming. Father, I know that you could do this some other way. But if this is the best way, then your will be done. Father, help us to have that mindset. To look out there at those impossible situations and put our plan together. Well, here's how this could be taken care of. But be willing to say, not my will, but your will be done. Father, you take care of the situation how you best see fit. And just give me the grace and the strength to love you with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind and all of my being and trust in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So that night that Jesus was in agony in the garden, he spent some last time with his disciples in the upper room. And again, that picture of bread. He uses that picture again, where he took the bread, you know, he gave thanks, he broke the bread, and he gave them a picture of what he wanted them to remember. And that picture was that the bread was his physical body that he was giving up for them, but also for all of us. And the cup was the representation of his blood that he was going to shed on the cross. Because remember, you know, he's specifically talking to a Jewish crowd. They totally understood that concept of shed blood sacrifice for sin. They knew that. They knew that that's what had to happen. And so what Jesus was telling them, this is once and for all. This will be the last sacrifice that's needed. The last blood sacrifice, because it's coming from the perfect Lamb, and it's going to cover everyone's sin. But they still have to make the choice to be covered, to accept that covering. It's like accepting a gift. You can accept a gift, but if you never open it, I mean, nobody's ever done that, have they? Get a gift and go, oh, that's nice. Set it aside. No, man, we rip into that baby. What's in there? Jesus gave us that gift. Man, rip into it. Accept it. Believe it. So if the guys want to come on up, so this morning, as we celebrate communion, remembering, you know, what Jesus did for us. You know, the picture of that bread that he literally gave his body for us. So take the bread and eat in remembrance of Jesus. And the cup is a representation of his blood that he shed for us. So take, drink in remembrance of Jesus. If you want to pass your cups to the aisle, the guys will pick them up. So thank you all for coming and worshiping with us this morning. Just remember we had the meeting here right after the service. And then next Sunday, we're out on the field at 10:30 and potluck lunch afterwards. So God bless. Have a great week.